It's time for the Fantasy Football Guys. With fantasy football knowledge so fat, it makes your mama look skinny.
So bad.
Here they are. Terrible. Lyle Conkeel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Football Guys.
Yeah, that's right. We are the Fantasy Football Guys. Kevin.
Lyle.
And we are live on a Wednesday, one night before opening day.
It's opening day eve on opening day week, Kevin.
So exciting. Opening day week.
Yeah.
It is.
And it's opening day eve.
It is.
I mean.
It's all of those things and more.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Very excited. Very excited.
Anyway. So we're the Fantasy Football Guys, Kevin and Lyle. And if you want to check us out on the web, you can do that at thefantasyfootballguys.com. Cool forum there. And it's kicking up now. People interacting, you know, as you would expect in a forum. You can answer questions. You can ask questions.
We
you
accept
can give
donations.
Opinions. We do.
Even via Bitcoin.
We do that as well. So there's a couple of different ways you can help us out. First and foremost is when we run an ad, by all means, listen to it. And then, you know, if you have a need for that product, buy it. And
give her a shot.
Give her a promo code and all that. Second way is if you want to send us some beer money, we have a donate button in the upper right-hand corner of our website. You can throw us a fin or whatever. Or not. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
We're cool with it.
Yep.
And thirdly, there's just listen to the show. That's all we're really asking for.
Yeah. You could write a review on iTunes.
That would be nice.
Those are helpful.
And you know what? If you think we suck, go ahead and say that too. That's all.
There's
good.
Plenty of those up there.
There are, indeed.
Yeah.
You can check us out on Twitter at TFFG. And that basically feeds into our Facebook page, which is the Fantasy Football Guys. We're also on YouTube at, I think it's the FF Guys.
You can type in the Fantasy Football Guys, too.
And it'll get to us.
Either one of them will.
Either way. We're not recording this show for video because there's no real reason to.
Maybe we'll go back to it. I don't know.
We do it for Saturdays, but really nobody wants to look at us.
Right.
Let's be honest, shall we? All right, so let's take a look at some news, if you don't mind, Lyle.
I'm down for that.
Amari Cooper limited in practice earlier today. He has a knee issue. Don't think he's going to have any issues with playing on Sunday against Tennessee. But, you know, just keep in mind that he does have a knee. Demaryius Thomas returning to practice. He was had some issues. Let's see, what was his problem? I don't know. Anyway, he's back in practice. See, this is the time of year when veterans, hey, all of a sudden their ailments aren't bad enough to keep him out of practice. Because you know what? It's game week. With that in mind, Danny Woodhead, Jeremy Maclin returning to practice. There's a lot of these. Hey, guess what? CJ Procise declared 100% ready to go for Sunday.
Look at that.
Yeah, but you know, with that in mind, here is Eddie Lacy. 20 to 25 carries possible on Sunday.
He's
ready for, as Pete Carroll said, a full load.
Yeah, I can't believe I got him in like the, I don't know, 12th round in our money league.
For some reason, people just don't dig Eddie
Lacy.
Well,
I had a lot of rookies, so I ended up just drafting a couple of veterans late.
Yeah.
You know, just in case.
There's a couple things with the Seattle backfield. Number one, Eddie Lacy has been a disappointment for years when he was with Green Bay. And secondly, there's a lot of running backs with a lot of talent there in Seattle. And, you know, people are scared of, you know, that situation.
Dude, I get it, but I don't think, I don't remember what round it was, but it was super late. And I that's kind of crazy.
It is.
He's probably a mid-round back.
He's a, you know, co-starting running back in the NFL.
Supposedly.
Leonard Fournette, not on the week one injury report, so play him while you can.
Right.
Hey, and you know what? As if there weren't issues enough with Bolake Bortles' issues in Jacksonville, he's got a wrist issue now. He's hurting his wrist. So maybe the good thing will happen and he'll have to sit out week one. Sorry. I'm not bitter.
That's terrible.
Bolake.
He'll be fine, man.
Odell Beckham, still a possibility for week one. He has that high ankle sprain when Brian Bodie Calhoun from Delaware clipped him in the side of the leg.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. So,
if only he was out week three.
If only he was out week three. So keep an eye on him if you're planning on playing him. Jeremy Hill back at practice earlier today. He's still listed as the starter, and Gio Bernard is listed as second string, and Joe Mixon all the way down there in third.
Yep.
But the reality is going to be different, we all think. We'll see.
We're pretty sure that Mixon will eventually, if not take over, I mean, I think that's unrealistic, but he'll definitely be in the mix.
The Mick's son. You know, we've all, you know, Jeremy Hill's issues are long documented, and my supposed hate for him is also well documented on this show. But, you know, I still think he's the bigger guy. So he's going to be the guy doing, you know, short yardage goal line stuff. So, you know,
that means touchdowns.
It does mean touchdowns. And that's generally all he's been good for the past couple of years. So Jordan Matthews for the Bills expected to start this week. Good for him, I suppose. Alshon Jeffrey is going to catch Josh Norman, of course, in the first game. So nobody really knows what to expect out of that. Josh Norman is a good DB. Alshon Jeffrey is a good wide receiver. We'll see what happens. It wouldn't stop me from playing him were I an Alshon Jeffrey
owner. I don't think you can afford to do that. No.
Liz calling.
Oh, look at that.
I can't really answer it.
No, but you can go ahead and shoot her a text.
I can do that. I can message her back.
Well, you know what? Why don't you do your first game? And then when I'm doing mine, you can go ahead and send her a text.
All right.
I don't want a whole bunch of dead air here while you're texting Liz. She's supposed to call in today, guys. So that's
Liz Losa from Yahoo Fantasy Sports.
You remember her from last season and many seasons before that. Liz has been a part of the show. How long do you think, Kevin?
A good while.
6 years now? 5 years? I don't know. It's been a while, but you know, it's fun to see her actually like an analyst. She's an official, you know, fantasy sports person.
She is. She's certainly left us behind, and good for her. Love that.
Well, I mean, you know,
it's not hard to do. LeSean McCoy, basically his coach said whatever it takes to win the game is how much we're going to use LeSean, which is good.
It's good news for week one, not so much for week eight, maybe.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Joe Flacco has been deemed ready to roll for week one. I guess that's a good thing. Joe Flacco, the starting quarterback for your Baltimore Ravens. Mm. Not really sure what that means as far as... Well, here's the thing. Joe Flacco, not traditionally, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Now, people go, is Joe Flacco elite? Well, the dude's making elite money.
He's not elite.
He's not an elite playing quarterback. No. Now, yes, he has a Super Bowl ring. Yes, he has a huge
arm.
That's
why he made that money.
Right.
Yeah, they lost that game. He might not be making that elite money.
She's getting a busy signal from our Skype number, which is odd.
I don't know.
All right. Let's do this, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. You've been waiting for this event since, I guess February 6th.
Right. Football season's officially back, Kevin.
And there's no better way to get closer to the game you love than with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football.
To celebrate the new season, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 contest this Sunday, and it's totally free to enter.
And if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion.
With DraftKings, there are so many ways to play.
You can play the public contest with the big cash prizes, or you can create your own private contest where you compete against any group of friends you want.
Just like our TFFG leagues, Kevin.
That's right. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill level.
The best part is you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment.
Get to DraftKings.com now and use promo code GUYS, G-U-Y-S, to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday.
And don't forget, if you get that perfect lineup, you could win $1 billion.
That's promo code GUYS, G-U-Y-S, to play for your shot to win $1 billion this Sunday.
The contest is totally free to enter, so why wouldn't you give it a shot?
DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Those deets.
Yeah, so I don't know what to do, man.
Well, I mean, we can't stop in the middle of the show.
We could always pause it.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do it either, but I don't want to, you know, miss Liz.
Just why don't you read your first game, and then you can try to figure it out when I'm reading mine.
All right.
I'll go really fast.
Okay, so tomorrow night, the Chiefs at the Pats, Kansas City... has a few players that are start worthy for week one. Week one's always weird for analysts such as ourselves because there's no real, you don't really know what the team's doing this time of year, et cetera.
There's a lot of stuff that we could talk about that is totally irrelevant. And it annoys me when people claim that we don't, and we get this claim a lot, we don't have any in-depth statistical analysis or anything, which is my bread and butter. I love that stuff. But there is no statistics right here. Like, you know, for this game, I could tell you that the Chiefs, allowed 23 points on the road last year, right? That has zero to do with this year. Okay. They were a worse defense at home. Sure. Last season.
Right. Last year means nothing. Preseason means nothing.
That's right.
Whatever the depth chart now, on their website says means nothing.
Is it possible that they stick to that and they still have a worse road defense than they do at home? Sure. A lot of teams do. Is it possible that that completely flips this year? Sure. Is it possible that they have a best defense in the NFL? Probably low, but it's certainly possible.
Right. So at this point, we're just saying what we think.
Here's the thing. Week one and possibly even week two, you just don't really get weird about your starting lineup. You start the people you drafted early. In week two, you would do it again unless something dramatically changes. Irregardless, Kevin, of all these, stats we can throw at you from last season, I would say that you have to start Tom Brady in this game. I cannot guarantee that he's going to be a top quarterback this season. At some point, he's going to hit a wall and fall off, right?
Maybe.
It's probably not this year, but it could be.
It could be week one.
So that's why we say, hey, week one, you start your studs, and then, after that, then we can start doing some analysis.
Yeah, because then stats roll in.
Yeah, and then we can see how people
trends
are playing.
Begin.
Sure, right. There's all kinds of stuff.
So with all that in mind, all of the things we've read and all the research we've done on players and what their positions are and all that kind of, that's what leads us to have our gut feelings this week.
Right.
So basically what we're saying is,
And it's not really a gut feeling. It's your draft rankings, right?
Pretty much.
You don't get super cute with this. You can maybe play around in your flex, but you start the first quarterback you drafted. You start the first two running backs you drafted.
Yeah.
You start the first two wide receivers you drafted.
Pretty much.
The flex, you might be able to, all right, maybe it's that third running back or the fifth wide receiver, like whatever. Okay,
Adrian
fine.
Peterson's playing Minnesota. Let's, right. He's going to be motivated, whatever.
Right. So, but you draft the tight end. You play the tight end you drafted first, and you play your kicker and your defense. I mean, it's just not, you don't get cute week one. So.
Exactly right. So with all that in mind, Chiefs at Pats, Thursday night.
Right.
Okay. So tomorrow. Alex Smith, not a play. I don't really see him being a play for the most part anytime this year.
He's a bye week fill-in quarterback if you're desperate.
At best. Yeah. He's going to be on the waiver wire probably except for like 16 team leagues all year long.
Or if a bunch of QBs go down.
Right. So, plus he may not see the end of the season whether he's playing okay or not.
It's true.
All right. So that in mind, Kareem Hunt was probably one of the first three running backs you drafted. He's at least flex worthy this week. Mm-hmm. He's listed first on the depth chart. He's quote unquote the bell cow back.
Well, and I think the real reason Hunt is a special play this week is goal line, right? He's going to get the ball in short yardage situations. I don't know that he'll have a huge yardage game, but he might crack off a couple touchdowns.
Yeah. I would get that. Sharkandrick West also has a little bit of value, but very little. I mean, there's got to be better options than Shark. Really, for as far as receivers go, it's Reek Hill. He's been put into the number one slot. Defenses generally tell you who number one receiver is, but he's going to be the guy who gets targeted most often, to be sure. We'll see how he handles that role. I think he's worth a start this week as well. Travis Kelce, he's healthy. He's ready to roll. So he's arguably the number two, number three tight end in the league, so he's definitely a go as well.
Right.
From the New England side, you mentioned Tom Brady. Of course, he's an automatic start, and there's other automatic starts here as well. Gronkowski is one of them. Probably drafted him in the second or third round, so my God,
better
you
plan.
Ought to draft him.
Yep.
Brandon Cooks is an auto start as far as I'm concerned, of course. That's where it starts to get a little bit murky. Chris Hogan is a guy who is definitely startable.
That's one of those guys I might sneak into that flex spot.
He's a flex guy. Yeah, I mean, we assume that he's going to get that Edelman role, but, Amendola could take some of that. Malcolm Mitchell, who's questionable this week, could take some of that as well. And they also may move Rex Burkhead out there.
Yeah.
I actually have a league with Rex Burkhead. I put him in the flex.
Yeah.
Just because I think he's going to get a lot of that action.
Don't hate it.
Deion Lewis is listed as a starter, as a RB1 on their depth chart.
Wouldn't it just kill everybody if Gillislee is like, he gets like five touches a game and Deion Lewis is the Deion Lewis of old.
It could happen.
Absolutely it could.
It's
especially
Bill Belichick's Patriots.
Yeah.
And then you got James White in there as well. So, if you got one of these guys playing with caution, obviously, and we're going to have just as much knowledge in week 10 as we do now, unless injuries, pare this list down. But Belichick, he could roll one of these guys and play the hot hand, and it could be not the guy you played. So careful there. You know, I think one of the guys on this list in this game that could have a big game on a weekly basis is Dwayne Allen, dude.
Yeah.
You know, the second tight end in New England's offense has always been a playable guy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Gronk is going to take the lion's share of it. But remember,
until he gets hurt.
Right, exactly right. So, you know, to me, Allen is one of those, not a flex play, but and maybe not a tight end play this week, but certainly a guy you might want to grab and stash on your bench as a tight end, too.
I don't disagree. All right, the second game. This will be Sunday, Kevin. It's the Jets taking on the Bills. And, dude, Bills are giving almost 10 points in this game. That's how bad the Jets are. So let's talk about the Jets.
It's not like the Bills are any great shape.
No, that's what I'm saying. Let's talk about the Jets a little bit. And we're done. No, I'm kidding. You have McCown there at the helm. Okay. Well, obviously, he's not a player that you would ever consider playing. The running backs were a little bit interesting. You know, obviously, Matty Forte was being shopped this offseason. I read articles that they were actually considering cutting him. It just tells me that Bilal Powell is the solid back here, and I think he's absolutely a play in this game. If you drafted Bilal Powell, hopefully you'll get a little bit out of him, but I don't see how you can pine him because he's essentially the sole running back in this team. I mean, you know, Forte will get some touches, but it won't be the Forte of old, unfortunately. The wide receivers get super gross. you got Robbie Anderson, Curley, you got Curse, you have a Darius Stewart who might, you know, end up doing something. I actually like him a lot, but I can't recommend really any of them in this game. Kev, do you disagree with that at all?
You know, I don't. I think, you know, at some point maybe Robbie Anderson's going to have some value, but week one, you know, you drafted him probably 10th or, you know, in the 10th or 11th round. You got certainly better
late
options.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I don't think Robbie Anderson went that late, dude.
What's his ADP?
Let's see. I'm looking it up right now. About fifth round.
Really?
Yeah, roughly. Fifth, sixth.
That would have been way too early for my liking.
That's what it says here. Maybe there's a mistake made on the page here, but that's what it says. The only other player I would consider playing is maybe ASJ, but I can't imagine he's your number one tight end. So maybe in a daily league, you might roll the dice on a guy like him in a DraftKings
format. You know what? The Jets have had like one touchdown to a tight end in the past three years.
I know, but McCown's at the helm, man.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. So not a huge fan there. From the Bills side, so really it's Bilal Powell. From the Bills side, I'm not going to often rank Tyrod Taylor amongst the people that you can start, but, you know, if you drafted him, maybe you play him this week to get a few points out of him. Not a huge fan, though, so, you know, play with caution if you have to. Maybe you waited super late on quarterback and just loaded up on skill positions. But if not, I can't imagine he's your number one quarterback, so go ahead and play the guy you drafted before him. From the running back's perspective, it's pretty much just McCoy. Kevin just mentioned he's supposed to get like a million carries. Great for week one, maybe not great for the middle of the year. Really the other guys like, you know, Jones, DeMarco, Tolbert, Banyard, really not in play here. McCoy is the sole back and really the only playable running back on this team, which is kind of odd in today's NFL. The wide receivers, you know, I almost like Zay Jones more than I like Jordan Matthews.
Kind of, yeah.
Just because Matthews is such a disaster from his time being an Eagle. So I'm not a massive fan of his. But again, in this game, in this matchup, if he's healthy, which you know, Kevin just mentioned, he's supposedly back. I don't hate him. I actually don't hate Zay Jones as a flex play. But other than that, really can't recommend like Holmes or Brandon Tate or anything like that. Just not week one. They may be waiver wire guys going down the season. We'll have to see. But right now, again, we're not going to get cute. Charles Clay, again, if he's a tight end that you drafted, sure. Other than that, you know what it was, dude? That was wrong. The ADP is listed here oddly. So
what about Robbie Anderson?
Yeah. So the ADP that's listed here that I actually wrote down is where they were drafted amongst their peers.
I see.
So he was the 57th roughly running or wide receiver taken, which makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that is down the list, but it's really, really far. So anyway, Clay, I can't imagine he's a tight end that you drafted even, but in this matchup, he's probably not terrible. He might get you, let's say, you know, I don't know, 50 yards and maybe a touchdown. I wouldn't expect any more than that. So, you know, play a different tight end, certainly.
There you go. Eagles at Redskins. Our birds are finally back. We're kind of excited being Eagles fans, as you can imagine. So let's take a look at the Eagles. Carson Wentz is probably your quarterback, too, at this point. He got drafted just about everywhere, but he's not a guy you're going to want to start week one. You know, maybe by the middle of the season he will be, but week one you probably have a better option. Hope you do. So bench him. LeGarrette Blount, Darren Sproles, Wendell Smallwood. Of these three guys, I think Sprolesy and Blount are probably the guys you'd want to play. Sproles probably in a flex position. LeGarrette Blount as an RB2. Mm-hmm. He's listed as the starter, but we know all three of these guys are going to get multiple looks, and they may even bring the four-string guy in for a few. So, you know, again, an RBBC, which is brutal. And week one, you don't really know how it's going to shake out. But Blount for the first and second down work, Sproles for the third down work, certainly playable for those. Jeffrey going to be on Norman Island, apparently. We can expect that. But I still would start him. He's at least flex worthy because you know he's going to be targeted a lot in this game and in all games as long as he stays upright. So he's a play. Torrey Smith, I think, is one of those sit and wait guys to see. You know, he's going to be like Kenny Stills. Like, he's going to rely on the long pass. He's not going to be targeted 15 times a game. He's going to get 5 or 6 downfield looks, and we'll see. I don't really feel the need to count on a big play guy in week one. Nelson Aguilar, just ridiculous to think about him. And anybody else in an Eagles uniform as a receiver at this point, other than Zach Ertz. I think, you know, he was drafted as your top tight end, and I think he's going to get a lot of targets and a lot of looks, and he gets a thumbs up from me, which I'm sure if he heard about it, would be very excited.
He would be really, really excited.
He's like, Kevin said yes to me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Kirk Cousins, I think, is a start this week against this questionable Phillies Eagles defensive backfield. So, and the way he's played over the past year or two, I think he's probably good to go on a weekly basis until he proves otherwise. Yep. Talk about murky running back situations. You got Fat Rob Kelly, who's your starter. Then you have Samaje Perine, who at some point could get some action. You got Chris Thompson, who's more of a third down guy. I'm not going to recommend any of these guys.
Yep.
I have to imagine you have better options for
running
backs.
And the
Eagles
have a pretty good front seven, too.
They do. And you know, I don't think any of these guys were drafted the first 4 or 5 rounds.
Right. I do believe that Fat Rob pretty much slaughtered them last year. So we could see a repeat performance of that. However, I think you're right, Kevin. I mean, maybe he's a flex at best, but that's a dice roll. Now, in a DraftKings format, he might be the perfect running back.
He might be, and he'll probably be relatively cheap.
Yeah.
Looking at the receivers, Terrell Pryor, I think, is a definite go. Jamison Crowder, I think, at least a flex. Josh Doctson, just coming back from injury, as a guy would pine, but Terrell Pryor and Jamison Crowder, with this defensive backfield, with the Eagles being really questionable, thumbs up for those guys. Jordan Reed, finally upright. Definitely go with him as well. He's a top tight end when he's healthy. You know, that 2-3 week window during the season when he doesn't have any ailments. And, you know, it's probably worth picking up Vernon Davis and stashing him on the end of your bench because you know Reed's going down
right
at some point.
Yeah. Almost certainly. Okay, Kevin, we got the Titans taking on the Raiders, and who knew this would be a relevant game?
Not me.
I'm kind of excited about it. I mean, listen, both teams, are up and coming. Both have young quarterbacks. So I'm actually excited about watching this game. This ought to be a funyun.
Indeed. A funyun.
From the Titans side, we have Marcus Mariota.
Something.
I've never heard of him. No, I really like Mariota this year. He was a quarterback that I actually targeted in a lot of leagues.
I like both of those quarterbacks who are picked.
I like Carr, too.
I like Winston and,
yeah.
and Carr.
Oh, you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Carr, too.
I do. I like Carr, too. But I think that we'll see significant strides in Mariota this season. And even if that weren't the case, I would still start in week one, obviously. because of his high ADP relatively.
Yeah.
When it in terms of quarterbacks, he's roughly 10th, I would say, in most leagues. So that's my wheelhouse, dude. I'm looking for that guy. If I don't land Breeze like in the late fourth or fifth, which never happens, it did happen to you.
Yeah.
It never happens to me. Mariota was a guy that I was looking at, you know, a couple rounds later. So, from the running back side, DeMarco Murray, obviously you're going to play him. He's a first round back. If you snuck him in the early second round, good for you. Derrick Henry's work gets really interesting. Because he was flexible at times last year. I think, you know, this is the guy that you stash on your bench. You certainly don't play him week one, but he's a guy that I'm very curious to see how he develops this season and what his role is going to be in this offense. Obviously a massive talent and super young, and DeMarco Murray is not. So
not young.
He's not. So we're definitely going to see a decline in Murray at some point. Who knows when that will be. Definitely going to get hurt, though. The wide receivers, I really like them. Decker, obviously, is a PPR monster.
I think the only problem is there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, right. You have Decker, you have Rashard Matthews, you have Corey Davis, and Tylan Taylor is probably pretty damn good, too.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they have, they also have Eric Weems, by the way, who you know, perennially becomes a one-week, like...
He'll be on the waiver,
waiver wire list. Guaranteed. Like, one time during the year. Not a great career, obviously, but, you know, steady Eddie average guy, good backup receiver, name that, you know, just pops up every once in a while. So I think that Decker and Matthews are absolute must starts in this game. In order for this team to be successful, they need to get involved. I really like Rashard Matthews as a touchdown machine. Decker, not so much. He's probably more of a PPR guy. But either way, I think they're both green lights in this one. And Delanie Walker, you know, solid tight end. You know, obviously your first tight end taken in most formats. So would give him a go as well. From the Raiders side, boy, this is cool.
There's a lot of players to like.
Love Derek Carr. So obviously, you know, if I like Mariota, Carr went before him in most leagues.
Remember last year when Carr was in the MVP discussion?
Yeah.
Until he got hurt?
Yeah.
No, I don't think either wanted. But
no. But he was playing well.
But I'll tell you what, you want to talk about how important he is to his team.
Mm-hmm.
He goes out, and the team basically falls apart.
Yeah, they did. But now they got him back, and they got a guy by the name of Marshawn Lynch, pal.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how he does.
Yeah, well, again.
A year on the couch.
This is a guy you drafted in the second round, so you're going to start him. They have Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington, obviously. Those are names that are definitely going to pop up throughout the season, right?
But probably not this week.
Not this week so much. And we have the whole Marshawn beast mode Lynch situation. Really excited to see if he can make a full comeback, get that comeback player of the year award, get Grill Piece back in the discussion. I missed him, Kevin.
Grill Piece.
The wide receivers, what can you say about Amari Cooper and Crabtree? They might be the best tandem in the league. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they might be.
They're pretty good. So
Amari's got that knee, though.
Yep. Definitely keep an eye on him. And is his status up in the air, or was he back to practice? I can't remember. You mentioned him right at the beginning.
I did. He was limited on today's practice.
Okay. So limited, keep an eye on him. He'll probably play week one. Most of these guys do. Tight end, I mean, you got Jared Cook, but I mean,
most of these guys do.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're seriously hurt, you play week one.
Veterans want to, you know, why?
Why?
Because in your contract's fully guaranteed for the year. I don't think Amari Cooper has to worry about
he
that.
He probably doesn't, but
yes. That's why veterans want to play week one.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you get pizzied.
Yeah, because you know what? If you're a scratch on week one,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not guaranteed.
You want to be up for week one.
So I'm guessing we'll see him on the field. Can't imagine Jared Cook's your top tight end, so wouldn't really think about it. But, you know, if somehow you did end up, you know, waiting till the last round to draft a tight end or whatever, okay. I mean, I don't, like, despise
Jared
him.
Jared Cook is your huckleberry.
Yeah, I don't despise him, but he's probably not, you know, in the top 15 tight ends this week or
he's
something.
He's like a 5 or 6 pointer.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Super low. Again, DraftKings, he might be your huckleberry there.
Yeah.
You know, probably get him for nothing.
Or 3,000.
Right.
So Jacksonville, Houston. I assumed you were done.
I was done.
All right. Jacksonville, Houston. I have a feeling this is going to be an ugly game for a couple different
reasons.
For Jacksonville. Well, you know, Jacksonville's, excuse me.
This Houston team had maybe the worst starting quarterback in NFL history and was a damn good team last year.
Who's now a Bronco again, which I think is ironic.
Yeah,
it's ironic. So anyway, let's look at Jacksonville. Blake Bortles, I told you about his wrist. There's some injury issues happening with these Jaguars. Tim Yeldon, T.Y. Yeldon, T.J. Yeldon, didn't practice today. Also, let's see, I told you about Bortles' issues, so that could pop up.
You know what else is going against Bortles?
He sucks.
He's Blake Bortles.
He's Balake Bortles.
Yeah, I don't know that he sucks, man. I think he's okay.
Did you see the video?
He certainly regressed last year.
Where Robinson was going out for a pass in practice, and you know Bortles just completely overthrew him.
Yeah.
And Robbins is like, just keep it in bounds, man.
Yeah, dude, I can get it. Yeah. Just get it somewhere near me.
Yeah, and you know the frustration was just everywhere.
Yeah, it's so weird when you see like hyper-accurate quarterbacks like Drew Brees, who can just put the ball anywhere.
Yeah.
And then the other side of the spectrum is a dude who can't hit literally the side of a barn.
With a bag of rice.
Right. Like, and because that's what Robinson is, basically. I mean, he's gigantic and he's got incredible range.
You know, the old Kevin Costner line, you couldn't hit water if you fell out of a boat. All right, so back to the game. Leonard Fournette. He's going to be a go this week. I mean, you drafted him early, you know, well-advised, ill-advised or not, whatever. I would definitely plug him in. It's going to be a battle, dude, because you're playing one of the best run defenses, hell, one of the best defenses, period, in the league. So it's not like, you know, temper your expectations on the poor guy.
Slightly.
He's probably going to get 10 to 15 carries. And I don't know how well he does out of the backfield as far as their game plan.
He's got
but
a tough matchup, too.
Tough matchup. So temper your expectations on him and don't give up on him early. Chris Ivory's still on the team, but I don't think he's really going to be fantasy relevant anytime soon, unless Fournette gets hurt, of
course,
and it all
though.
Changes.
Great hair.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We mentioned Allen Robinson, you know, great receiver. Marquise Lee falls into that category as well. I mean, both of these guys could really make hay if they had a quarterback who, A, didn't suck, and B, wasn't hurt.
Right.
So I'm really going to put a caution signal on both of these guys, especially Marquise Lee, because I think you probably have better options than... But you know what the hell? You drafted these guys. If you drafted Allen Robinson, you know you probably had to get him in the first five rounds. So you kind of knew...
I don't think so. I got him in like seven or eight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, then you know what? If you got him that late and you didn't get him early... Then don't worry about playing him.
He held on in the TFFT money.
You drafted him knowing Blake Bortles was his quarterback, so you're on your own. Mercedes Lewis, of course, is just a steady Eddie type of tight end, but probably not somebody you want to play this week.
You were right. I got him at five.
Yeah. So that's where you got to get him, but he's probably your second or third or wide receiver.
Right now he's in my flex, but I'm going to change all that.
Yeah, so the Tom Savage era at the Texans takes place.
Dude,
this
I'm excited,
weekend.
Man. First of all the stuff that went down in Houston just recently, it's just like really sad. And but they have a good football team, and if they had a decent, it doesn't even have to be great. He could be Joe Flacco. They got a real shot at the Super Bowl, man.
He could be Joe Flacco.
Well, dude, the Ravens won.
I know.
Right? Why? Because they had an incredible defense.
No, I just was laughing that Joe Flacco is now your poster child for bad quarterback.
Well, I mean,
good team.
I just wrote Dilfer at you, or
you could.
You know, who was that dude that, for the Redskins back in the day? Doug Williams.
He was good though.
He was okay.
He was pretty good. He could throw the ball.
Yeah, but he wasn't a superstar.
He wasn't. No, he wasn't.
You know,
I would probably use Mark Rippon instead of Doug Williams.
Rippon.
Yeah. You know who really likes Tom Savage? DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me. But I'm
feel
not
like
going to.
I stole him in a couple leagues, man.
Who, DeAndre?
Yeah.
I think you did too. So, you know, I don't have to like Tom Savage as far as fantasy goes, but DeAndre does. So I'd like DeAndre in this matchup. I like DeAndre every week until the numbers say stop.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, the numbers said stop at about week three.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said last week. Yeah. Last year. Where you had to really start worrying about DeAndre, but I think, you know...
That was a quarterback issue. We know how good the guy is.
Right.
And if you drafted him, and again, if Savage is anywhere decent, you got a top five wide receiver in the third round.
And if Savage isn't anywhere decent, we're going to have the Deshaun Watson era begin early.
And that'll be exciting, too.
Sure. So we'll see. Either way, DeAndre Hopkins, big thumbs up this week. Lamar Miller gets that thumb as well, just because... It's a pretty good matchup. I know Jacksonville's defense is relatively stout.
They are. They're pretty good.
But I think with the new quarterback, et cetera, that there's going to be some running lanes from Lamar. Alf Blue had practice issues. Will Fuller also didn't practice. Let me make sure that's correct. Will Fuller did not participate in practice. Neither did Alf Blue.
Interesting.
So keep an eye on those guys if you're itching to play them. Don't know why you would be. Let's see who else we have. Deontay Foreman. He's a guy I think you're going to want to use in the future. Not sure he's going to be relevant this week. CJ Fedorowicz, you have better options at tight end than that dude. But, you know, down the road maybe. Who knows? It all comes down to how the quarterback plays. So CJ may be relevant at some point, but just not guessing week one.
Right. We got the Lions taking on the Cardinals, Kevin.
Good game.
Yeah, it ought to be a good one. Matty Stafford is an obvious play. Probably not the greatest fantasy quarterback of all time, but, you know, decent enough to get a start.
Certainly the highest paid.
Yeah. Yes, he is. It's ridiculous. Here's where it gets really cool, because I was thinking about this today. They actually have a ton of good running backs, too. They have Ameer Abdul. They have Theo Riddick, right? They also have Zach Zenner, and they have Dwayne Washington. So that might end up becoming an issue later on down the year if some of these guys play their way onto the field. But for now, it's Abdullah and Riddick, probably in that order. You definitely would have drafted Abdullah higher. A lot of hype around him this season. He's certainly a play, and Riddick is 100% a play in PPR formats. There's just no doubt about it. Stick him in your flex and be super happy that you drafted him. The wide receivers, you have Tate Jones and Kenny Galladay. Obviously, I wouldn't roll the dice on Galladay right now. Golden Tate is 100% a start. Marvin Jones, he's in that weird flex territory, maybe. Started out the season last year on fire, then kind of tapered off.
Well, the whole team kind of did.
They did. So I wouldn't expect too much out of him this week. He's more of a wait-and-see kind of guy, but definitely a guy that you want on your roster.
Now, let me clarify. The whole team did fantasy-wise.
Right, fantasy-wise. Yeah. Ebron would have been, you know, probably your first tight end drafted, so feel free to go ahead and stick him in if that's the case. And that's it from the Detroit Lions. From the Cardinals side, ooh, do you play Carson Palmer? See, I think Carson Palmer's a play, even though his ADP was super low.
Somebody asked me about, you know, what should I do because my quarterback was hurricaned. Mm-hmm. So what should I do? I got this guy. I'm like, cross your fingers and put Carson Palmer in. He was the best option among the list given. Plus, right. Dude, he's got weapons.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, so he's primed for success.
100%. They also have this guy named David Johansson.
David Johnson?
Oh, yeah.
That's his name? David
Johnson. We're so stupid.
I'm smart.
I'm saying it this week, week one, Fabiano style. David Johnson is a start, Kevin. I'm saying it. I'm putting myself out there.
Yeah, David Johnson, a good look this week. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, man. Yeah, best running back in the NFL. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate that.
So that's stupid to even talk about. Fitzgerald and John Brown, I'd start both of them. Really like Brown as a flex.
You know what?
Maybe even a two.
Jerron Brown for the team is actually making a little noise there as a guy you might want to consider for down the road.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they have J.D. Nelson, too. They have a guy by the name of Chad Williams, who's looked really good. Aaron Dobson, the former Patriot. All guys that could end up making noise. But again, these
for
guys...
week
are,
one.
These, it's not week one, and if they do make noise, it's because John Brown got hurt. Or like something bad, because these guys, dude, Nelson, J.D. Nelson, John Brown, and Larry Fitzgerald are super solid.
Yeah.
Right? So those are the wide receivers. Gresham, a guy that we have been waiting for him to
better
take off
options,
forever. Absolutely. Totally not going to play him. For sure.
All right, so it's the Steelers and it's the Browns. You know what?
Another ugly game. What if the Browns just crush them?
You know what, dude? It is certainly within the realm of possibility.
And
let me tell you why.
It's not.
Well, the defense for Pittsburgh is pretty good. Ben Roethlisberger on the road is not the quarterback he is at home. He's like a third of the quarterback he is at home.
You know what the remedy for that is?
Playing Cleveland.
Yeah.
But you know what? Last year when they played at Cleveland, Roethlisberger didn't have a good game.
Yeah, but was that midseason?
It was week 11, I think.
Okay. So, yeah. You know, everybody's beat up. You know, stuff's going on. Right.
Well, plus, you know, the Browns had Hayden, I think, so.
Right.
That could change things. Either way, you know, you probably drafted Ben, you know, as your top guy. And if you did, by all means, play him. But somebody asked me, Big Ben or Dak, week one? I was like, Dak. Don't even go near Big Ben on the road if you can help it. So, you know, if you're going to play him, you know, realize that he's not going to be the quarterback he's going to be when he gets home. So you probably know that by now. Lev Bell, of course, thumbs up every week until, you know, he gets hurt, and then James Conner can take over. But if Lev Bell is in there, he's going to take as close to 100% of the touches as he can get. D'Angelo Williams, last year, first two games, top running back in the NFL. Lev comes back. Williams disappears, literally didn't have a carry.
Yep.
And Lev Bell's just that kind of back. He's in. If there's a running back needed on the field, it's going to be Lev Bell.
Yep. He does everything.
He does. So, you know, it's Lev or
somehow it's better than D'Angelo Williams. How does that even happen?
Somehow. Anyway, Antonio Brown, obvious thumbs up as well. Dude, Martavis Bryant went right from the suspension list right to the wide receiver two designation as a starter. And for good reason. You know, he's going to be...
He's pretty good.
If he's the same guy he was, you know, before suspension,
right?
You know, it's going to be fantastic for Brown, and it's going to be fantastic, of course, for Bryant fantasy owners as well. So he's at minimum flex worthy,
right?
So that's definitely good for him. Jesse James / Vance McDonald. You know, I think Vance McDonald is more of a receiving tight end than Jesse James is. But either way, not really anxious to start either of them at this point. This is going to be pretty quick. Cleveland, it's really the Isaiah Crowell show. There's a couple other guys you could start. I mean, Kenny Britt is having an injury issue, I think, at this point. Corey Coleman is back from last year. No, actually, it looks like the Browns are good.
Everybody's participating.
Oh, wait, Kenny Britt, hang on.
Nope.
Full participation in practice. Yep. Woohoo, go Kenny. So you could probably start Kenny or Corey if you really wanted to. I think you probably have better options, but Isaiah Crowell is a guy you want to start. You probably got him in the second or third round. Duke Johnson in a flex, maybe, if you're really desperate, and if you're desperate week one, you have bigger problems than Duke Johnson.
Well, let's say you had Doug Williams and Ajay, right? So now you're like, oops.
Doug Williams?
Or, sorry, Doug. Well, not Doug Martin, because he's suspended. Let's say Jaquizz Rodgers. You were planning on starting him, right? And J.J. I don't know why I said Doug Williams. It's that Redskin thing.
Maybe.
Back in the day. I meant Dougie Martin. He had muscle cancer. But he's out. So let's say you were planning on starting Jaquizz and J.J. Now all of a sudden you're super light on running backs because, you know, hurricanes.
So maybe Duke is a flex for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't hate that because, you know, they're talking about moving him all over the formation, put him in flex, you know, bust him out of the backfield in motion. So I kind of like that look out of him. So I'm a little worried about DeShone Kizer being the, you know, rookie quarterback starting. But, dude, the needle's pointing up for Cleveland because it can't point down anymore.
Dude, do not underestimate the Browns. Do not underestimate.
Dude, I really want him to do well.
Me too. But they dissed Carson Wentz, so they were like, "Yeah, we don't think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL."
I'm glad.
Me too.
I'm really, really glad.
I think Wentz is going to be a solid player. Okay. Bears are going to go ahead and be taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Bears got a couple problems. First of all,
only two.
They have Trubisky, right?
Well, he's their backup now.
Yep. They have Glennon.
He's their starter.
Supposedly.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see.
Yeah. They also have Mark Sanchez.
Trubisky is officially listed as the QB1, though.
Is he?
Yeah.
Where?
I'm looking at the depth chart right now.
On NFL.com. On the Bears website.
No. I'm not looking. I'm looking on Yahoo.
Yeah. Look on the Bears website, dude.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Either one of these guys, you're not going to play.
But yeah. Why are we arguing about who's not playing?
The problem is that they also have Kendall Wright and Kevin White, and they have Marcus Wheaton there, too. If these names don't inspire confidence, it's for good reason. I mean,
right.
So, you know, you have either bad veteran or unknown rookie throwing to injured, supposedly a superstar, and former decent receiver. It's just not good. Listen, from the Bears, there's two names you need to pay attention to for right now. It's Jordan Howard, right? Obviously, you're going to play him, and then Zach Miller. Right, I wouldn't mind playing Zach Miller in this situation because I think that they're going to need a reliable tight end. So I actually picked him up at a bunch of DraftKings things because he's super cheap, And I think he's a tight end for week one that could score a couple touchdowns. Obviously, in your weekly fantasy team, you didn't draft him.
Assuming that the Bears score touchdowns at all.
Well, Jordan Howard's going to get him close, and then Zach Miller's going to catch one.
There you go.
Watch. He's going to catch a touchdown this weekend. Watch. Again, that's
you want to put a fin on that?
You already owe me $5, so let's do it. Double or nothing.
How do I owe you $5?
From last year. You never paid me the final fin, you welcher.
I would rather cheat you out of it than owe it to you.
Okay. Here's the other problem for the Bears. They're playing the Falcons.
Yeah.
They have a fairly good football team.
I've heard that.
They had three quarters of being NFL champions for a year.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you need the full four.
You need the full four. So, from their side, you got Matty Ryan. He's obviously a guy you're gonna play. He's probably fifth or so picked among quarterbacks in your leagues. You have Freeman and you have Tevin Coleman. I like them both. I'd play Freeman 100%, and Tevin Coleman's a perfect flex for this kind of situation. Oh, and you have Julio Jones. Really, really like him. Also like Taylor Gabriel as a possible flex. Because of the damage that kid can do. Sanu I would wait on for obvious reasons. Austin Hooper, I saw some people drafting him. I don't really get it.
I think I grabbed him in the 15th round as a backup.
Right. Wouldn't play him, obviously. So not a huge fan.
No, not so much. Okay, hang on a sec. Okay, so we have the Ravens at the Bengals, another AFC North tilt. So, looking at the injury report, Joe Flacco back at practice, which is, I guess, good, right? It's real good that Breshad Perriman and Jeremy Maclin are back full at practice. That could be a big plus. Also, Danny Woodhead back fully at practice.
That's
so
a huge plus.
It's one of those, hey, it's week one, let's get back in practice and pretend like we're healthy. So, I Joe Flacco in this matchup, I think you have to have a better option than Joe at this point. Terrence West got no love at the draft, but he's your starting, running back for this team. I can't really recommend him because I'm not really sure what he's going to be able to do. Danny Woodhead, I like in a PPR. I guess Terrence West is flex worthy at least.
Sure.
Starting running back really with nobody behind him to take first down and second down carries. I think Woodhead's going to be more of a third down. Maybe split out guy. So, yeah, Terrence West in a flex, Danny Woodhead in a PPR anywhere on your lineup. Mike Wallace, Jeremy Maclin, Breshad Perriman. Honestly, I'd play any of them as a wide receiver two or flex. You probably have a better wide receiver one option, but for a two, I like all three of them. Ben Watson is, he's old. I was surprised that he's still in the league. Was he like 45 or something?
I don't know.
Don't know about Ben Watson at this point, so I'm just going to fade both of those guys. It was actually Boyle.
He's 36.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's close to 45.
No, he's not.
It's within a decade. Anyway, he's closer to 45 than I am to 70.
Okay.
But just barely.
Just barely, yeah.
All right, so from the Cincinnati Bengals side, they had some injury issues as well. But it appears that Tyler Boyd is a full participant in practice, and Eifert is back in practice as well, and so is Jeremy Hill. So they're getting healthy for week one. Good for those guys. Andy Dalton, if you had Jameis Winston and you need a guy to play this week, Dalton's probably an okay go. The Ravens' defense is really good, though, so I might look elsewhere than Andy. But Andy's got some weapons, man. He's got A.J. Green, who's a definite play. He's got John Ross, who's the fast, speedy rookie. Brandon LaFell is a solid possession receiver. So A.J. Green, obviously, you play. LaFell and Ross, play is needed, but I don't think you need him for this week. Jeremy Hill back in practice. We talked about him before. He's probably going to be more of a touchdown guy. Gio Bernard more of a third. I don't know how they're going to mix these guys up. But we both think that actually not just us, everybody pretty much thinks it's going to be Mixon's job to take and to keep through the course of the season. How it works out in week one, who's to say? If I have Mixon, I'm playing him somewhere. Hill and Bernard, probably not.
Yeah.
I think cream rises to the top.
You think it'll be Mixon?
I think it's going to
be. Despite the...
I think he's going to make the most of his opportunities. We've seen what Hill does with his opportunities, and it's not much.
See, Kevin hates him.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so we've seen what Gio Bernard's done the last couple of years, which isn't much. There's a reason they went out and got Mixon when they did, and if not for his off-the-field issues, dude, I think he'd have been a first-rounder.
Yeah.
So, I think, maybe not in week one, but I think, if he gets 10 touches, he'll probably have 80 yards and a touchdown.
Right.
So I'm going with him. Tyler Eifert, finally practicing. And he's definitely a guy you plug in at tight end.
Certainly. The Indianapolis Colts. Not going to recommend Scott Tolzien.
No, I wouldn't think.
Not a big fan
How
there.
How about Jacoby Brissett?
No. Not a fan there either. Tolzien's got the start, though, right?
Yeah.
Frankie Gore is a weird guy. I guess you play him. Good, I'm playing him. Draft him as your number two.
Well, for running backs, the end comes quickly.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's going to come in week one.
Okay, fair enough. I don't really love Frankie Gore. I don't really hate him either. He's just one of those guys who's like, oh, I have to put him in.
Minimum flex.
Yeah. Marlon Mack is a wait and see. I want to see how many touches he gets and how he ends up working in this offense. I have a feeling he might take over at some point, especially if Gore ends up coming up gimpy. Obviously, if he gets injured, he would. But if Gore just tweaks something and, you know, they have to get Mack on the field a little bit more, get a lot more experience, and then I think he's just going to take off with it. At least that's my hope anyway. Wide receivers, man.
Since you draft him in a bunch of leagues.
I did.
You did.
Well, he's one of those late-round guys that's super high upside.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. The wide receivers, man, I love them. I love Hilton and Moncrief. Like Kamar Aiken, too. But, you have to start Hilton. You drafted him too early not to start him.
Agreed.
You know, he's probably within the top 15 wide receivers that went in your draft. You know, maybe 20.
Well, 20. You'd have been higher if Luck was healthy and playing.
Certainly, yeah. Certainly. Whereas Moncrief's a little bit further down the list, so I think you can fade him. I think T.Y., you got to start. Jack Doyle was probably the last tight end taken in your draft or something. Again, Luck was playing. We'd have a different conversation. Right now, no thanks. From the Rams side, let's play Jared Goff, dude. Let's do it.
You want to?
No. Gurley, you're playing, obviously. I really want to start Cooper Kupp, but I can't recommend it week one. Love the kid. Watkins, I think you got to get the most out of him when you can, and he's going to be on the field. So, okay.
For at least the first play. We'll see what happens after that.
You know, can't recommend any of the tight ends. So, really, it's Gurley and I guess, you know, Watkins. They have a bunch of good wide receivers there, man.
They do.
You know, they have Kupp. They have Robert Woods. Remember him?
I do.
Tavon Austin, who's really good. Josh Reynolds, who I think is a potential to be a decent wide receiver in this league. But, you know.
I'm kind of excited to see that offense because, you know, McVay is a guy who is supposedly this offensive genius, his quarterback whisperer. I want to see how he does with Goff. I want to see how they do with Gurley and the run schemes. And, you know, we'll see. I'm hoping that everything works out and Cooper Kupp catches a lot of passes.
Me
and,
too.
You know.
Me too, man. But, you know.
Not optimistic, really, but curious.
Well, eventually they have to turn it around, right?
Do they?
I mean, this was the greatest show on turf, bro.
It was.
But that was a long time ago in a totally different state.
Precisely. You done
nothing? Yeah, I'm finished, bro.
Okay, Carolina Panthers, San Francisco 49ers. Cam Newton fully at practice, allegedly healthy. Did you draft him? Somebody did. I saw him go.
I almost snagged him in our Money League draft.
He went late.
He did. He went really late.
So, you know, I think
he went one pick before I was going to draft him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, it's some of the same players on this offense. Jonathan Stewart's still listed as your starter, but we all know that Christian McCaffrey is going to take some touches. Kelvin Benjamin's still on the roster.
He was drafted at 10.11.
Who was?
Cam Newton. Almost the 11th round.
Wow. Yeah. And you, dude, last year, first pick in a lot of drafts.
Yep.
Crazy.
Well, that's why I was like, dude, if I can get him in the 11th.
And he's half of what he was.
Yeah.
You know, Cam Newton, I would be cautious about starting him, but if you drafted him to be your quarterback, then, you know, you have yourself to blame. Plug him in. I like Jonathan Stewart because, A, he's healthy, and B, you may not get to play him again because he's fragile as all hell. So when he plays and when he's healthy, he's good. I like him. So, yeah, he's at least worth a flex. McCaffrey, you know, I'm a little cautious about him, but I think they're going to try to really get him going. You know, he's at least flex. As a matter of fact, I think he's the perfect flex, to be honest with you. Seeing what he did in preseason, yeah, I know it's preseason, but when he was in there with the ones, dude, he looked like he belonged, and they had packages for him. So I think for a flex, he's perfect. Kelvin Benjamin, Yeah, I know he came to OTAs fat and all that. You see the pictures of the Dunlop and all that. But, dude, Kelvin Benjamin, he's big in the red zone. He's big getting out of bed in the morning. So he's a guy I'm going to play every week as long as he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it for the Panthers. I mean, you know, the tight end is questionable. Funches, I'm not sure about. Curtis Samuel's a rookie. I don't know where he fits in. So for week one, it's Newton, maybe Stuart McCaffrey and Benjamin for the Panthers.
Yeah.
The 49ers have even more question marks, frankly. I do like the Kyle Shanahan offense, and I think Brian Hoyer will do well in it.
I do too.
Brian,
I especially like it because it's not the God.
I don't even know where you're trying to say.
Having another brain fart. The former coach of the Eagles, Chip Kelly. It's not Chip Kelly offense.
Yeah, that's right. A plus. Yeah.
I can't believe I forgot his name. That's how much I hate him.
Yeah,
my brain tried to erase him.
You blocked it out. Yeah. You know, Brian Hoyer, you know what? In a DraftKings league, he's my QB.
Yeah, man. Big fan.
But as far as, you know, picking him up for, you know, a full season.
I think he's a decent, he's probably a decent backup.
I think so.
He's certainly a guy I would consider on my main QB's bye week, right? As a potential, you know, hey, man, he might throw me 20 points. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He could also throw me 6.
Right. I mean, you know, if you have a guy like Stafford, he's not going to get hurt, generally. He had some injury issues early, but he's played like 6 years in a row straight.
I don't think that's true.
Roethlisberger? Wait, you don't think he's played 6 years in a row straight?
Mm-mm.
Of course. You look it up while I'm doing this.
All right.
Tell me the last time Matt Stafford missed a football game. Anyway, so... Brian Hoyer, I think, is a guy who actually could win you a couple games this year. Carlos Hyde, I was not big on him early. I'm a little bit bigger on him now, just because I saw him run and I saw the way the offense worked. It's preseason, I know, and it's vanilla, but he still played well. A lot of people have been talking about Matt Breida, and I'm not going to go anywhere near him week one, but he's certainly a guy you might want to stash on the end of your bench. Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin. I like both of these guys. Pierre, I think, is going to have a big season. He's probably going to be, you know, 80, 85 catches, you know, around 1,000 yards. Marquise Goodwin is the long ball specialist. He's the Kenny Stills of this team. So I don't like him as much. I think he's going to be the guy who relies on the long ball, and there's only so many of those go around per year. So I would temper my expectations on him and probably sit him this week. But Pierre, I like. And George Kittle, if he's healthy, may be good down the road, but not for week one, not for me. Thanks anyway.
You were right, by the way.
I was right.
Mm-hmm.
Mark this down. Lyle actually said you were right.
Ew.
6 years, right?
Dine of Fire. 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. You must have read that somewhere.
Yeah, and I retained it. That's what happens.
Mm.
You read, you retain, you become smart.
Okay. Really, really good game, this next one.
Kevin. Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of players in it.
Yeah. We got the Packers. Mm. Taking on the Seahawks.
Good one.
Two potential playoff teams. Certainly both teams, on paper, good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Actually, if you know, one of these teams doesn't make the playoffs, it's an upset.
Right. Yeah. So, from the Packers side, we have a guy by the name of Aaron Rodgers. Yep. Probably going to start him. First quarterback taken in every draft.
Yeah, pretty much.
Running backs, you have Ty Montgomery, who you're certainly playing. They have Jamal Williams, who I'm really curious to see how he does. Not a play this week, right? But I'm curious to see how they work him in the offense. So not for week one, but he should be on your roster. And definitely pay attention to him, because if we get a gauge week one, week two of how they're going to use him, he might become flex worthy real quick.
I think once it starts getting cold there in Green Bay,
right?
That north-south running is going to be more important than it is in September.
Plus, they, you know, every team needs a goal line back. So
yep.
I don't hate touchdowns. They're 6 points a pop, Kevin.
I like them.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Wide receivers, Jordy Nelson is a guy that I kept in the 16th round. Might well play him. I like Devontae Adams, too. I don't even hate Randall Cobb as a flex, but Nelson and Adams are certainly guys that you're going to play. Martellus Bennett is a tight end that I'm going to stick in there, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So even though the Packers don't typically go to their tight end as much,
They do when they have a good one.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll see. Bennett's certainly good enough to be a startable tight end in this league on any team.
Yeah.
And on, you know, one with a dynamic offense, certainly want to get him in. From the Seahawks side, man, I guess if you drafted Russell Wilson, certainly you start him. I'm not a big fan of his fantasy prospects. I'm just not. He's too up and down for me, but I get it. And if you have faith in him, you should, I mean, if you drafted him, you should start him because you drafted him that early. Kevin just mentioned Eddie Lacy and how he's going to get 25 touches this week. We'll see if that happens, but I think he's absolutely a start in this league. In week one. I know he's had trouble in the past, but I think you got to stick him in.
Well, apparently he made all of his weight bonuses.
Right.
Rawls. So now he's trim Eddie Lacy.
Right.
Now.
He's not fat Eddie. I might even start Rawls, too.
I think Rawls is having injury issues.
I'm saying if he plays. Obviously, you don't start somebody who's not playing, Kevin. That would be, how do you say, unwise? Let me effort so I can just see. Yeah, he's a full participant.
Okay.
So we'll see. I mean, obviously, keep an eye on the report, but he did practice today. Wide receivers, Dougie Baldwin, we're playing, certainly. Lockett's where it gets interesting. He's a guy that you might stick in your flex at some point. Certainly a player that belongs on your roster, but not a guy I'm playing week one, probably. If I do, again, it's because I have issues or I had like several Bucks and Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I can't believe they moved the game to week 11, dude. That's crazy.
People are like, oh, they're going to have to play 16 games in a row. I'm like, before bye weeks, everybody played 16 weeks in a row.
And you certainly can't, I mean.
I actually tweeted out, plus every day was a padded practice.
I would probably not watch the Eagles game and watch that game if they were going to play it in a hurricane.
Well, they were talking about either two of the locations to move the game to was Philly or Pittsburgh.
Right.
Because it was still East Coast, and both of those teams are away.
Right.
But they decided to move to week 11, I guess. Because, you know, these players want to be home taking care of their families.
Sure.
Not, you know, fooling around in a football game.
Right. No, understood.
Yeah.
I was just joking. And Jimmy Graham, you know, he's pretty good tight end. So if you drafted him, again, different format for him. He hasn't been the Jimmy Graham of old.
He's been more than he was year one with the Seahawks.
Yes, he has been better. But he's not the guy that was in New Orleans several years ago. But certainly a startable tight end in this league, and you would definitely play him. I think he's the kind of guy that you would overpay for in a DraftKings format, though.
A little bit, yeah.
Speaking of those, Kevin, we're going to have a bunch of leagues. So we'll mention this throughout the season, but we're going to be running a bunch of them. So we typically run like four or five.
I got one running now.
Yeah.
Did you invite me? Yeah.
I don't think I got it.
Well, anyway.
Does it include tonight's game?
It does.
All right.
And I think 15 out of 20 have signed up. So what happens is if we don't fill it, then it just basically it just wipes it away. So if we don't get the full slate tonight, we'll start a couple more for the weekend games. So anyway, there you have it. So the Giants-Cowboys, this is a pretty good game, the NFC East matchup. A lot of tension around this game, whether or not Zeke was going to start. He is. If you're a football fan, you know this by now. You probably know more about the legal system and what's happening with Zeke than most attorneys at this point. But so obviously Zeke is going to start, and I'm sure that the Giants are like, we thought we were going to escape this.
Yeah.
But it turns out not so much. So let's talk about the Giants first. I actually like Eli Manning in this matchup. He's traditionally been a Cowboy killer, especially on the road. Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
So Eli's probably not your first quarterback, so don't play him just because I say so. But, you know, if you drafted late and, you know, maybe you had Jameis Winston, you got to start Eli, don't feel bad about it. He'll do all right.
Wait a minute. I have something wrong here.
What's the matter with you?
Ah, I messed something up. Never mind. You're good.
Did you also do the Giant-Cowboy game?
No. Okay. I had the Saints. I was prepping for my next game, and I had the Saints playing the Falcons. And I was like, wait a minute. I already talked about the Falcons. They're playing the Vikings.
The Vikings, yeah.
Let me go ahead and fix that.
Can I get back to...
No.
Now, Paul Perkins is going to be your starting running back. Don't have a whole lot of faith in that guy. Yeah, I kept him in my dynasty league just on the off chance that he does something. But the Giants' running game in the past couple of years has been questionable at best.
I would say abysmal is a more realistic term.
Well, you know, I wanted to try to stay positive for week one. Shane Vereen's probably still going to be, you know what? Probably a sneaky flex because he's still going to catch passes out of the backfield.
Maybe in a PPR, maybe.
Again, better options week one. Odell Beckham may be around for week one for this game. Obviously, it's going to affect how good Eli can be. But Brandon Marshall, he's a good receiver. Sterling Shepard, he's pretty good. So whether they have Odell or not, you know, I think Eli's going to do okay. Obviously, if Beckham gets in there, it's probably going to be one of those game time decisions things. So you're going to have to be watching all the way up to game time. Still like Brandon Marshall in this. Sterling Shepard, not as much as the other two. And in week one, you probably have a full slate of receivers to choose from, and Sterling Shepard's probably not near the top of that list. As far as tight ends go, I really like Evan Engram. The Giants use their tight end quite a bit, especially in the red zone, and Engram is, I think he's probably going to end up being, if he matches expectations, he's going to be probably a top 10 tight end within the next couple of years. Like to see him start that this week because I own him in a couple leagues. So anyway. From the Cowboys' standpoint, Dak Prescott, traditionally sophomore quarterbacks mm-hmm. take a step back because mm-hmm. teams have film on them. The teams that they play for try to expand the playbook with them. I think Dak's probably going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he has Zeke.
He has Zeke.
I don't think he would have had the rookie season that he had if he didn't. He didn't put up huge numbers. Prescott didn't, but he won ball games. He came up, right. Clutch. But, again, they had the best offensive line, the best running back in the game. And, it's kind of hard to watch the quarterback when you have to worry about those guys.
Right. So the offensive line, not as good.
Right. They will have Zeke, though.
They will have Zeke for this week. So at least. Dak Prescott, I think, is the start. Now, the Giants' defense is stout. We all know this. So that's an issue as well. But I think Dak Prescott is going to be a weekly thumbs up no matter what. I'm not going to say he's automatic. Because of the Zeke situation, but for the most part, I think he's going to be a thumbs up. Zeke's in, so McFadden and Morris, I wouldn't even go near him, quite frankly. Next week, it'll be a different story if Zeke's not playing there. We can talk about that then. Future us can worry about that. Mm-hmm. Receivers, Dez Bryant, of course. Terrence Williams, of course not. In a PPR, Cole Beasley, who led the team in receptions last year, I think is still a go. He didn't get a whole lot of love this offseason in PPRs or otherwise, but he's still going to catch a bunch of passes. Jason Witten somehow continues to play. The ageless wonder. There's better options at tight end. I think really only Cowboy fans drafted Jason Witten.
Again, he's 35. So,
dude, that's ancient in football.
Not for a tight end.
Sure it is.
How old was Gonzo when he retired?
I don't 40? Know. 40? It's old, though, dude.
Eh.
And you know what? Witten was never the fastest cat out there to begin with.
No, but he's big and he's got great hands.
You know what? Sometimes that's enough.
It is.
Jason Witten, Hall of Famer?
Yeah, probably.
You think so?
Yeah, probably.
Tony Romo, Hall of Famer?
No.
So how's Witten in and Romo's not?
Because Witten is one of the elite players at his position and has been for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe not. I could make a case for no as well.
Right, there's going to be a lot of tight ends around the time, because you're going to have Antonio Gates probably around the same time.
Yep.
Anyway, we can talk about that down the road. Right now, let's talk about the Saints and Vikings.
All right. The Saints going to go ahead and be playing the Vikings, Kevin.
How about that?
Yeah. Drew Brees is a guy you might want to start. He's fairly good.
I'm going to start him a couple times.
Yeah. Running backs are really interesting, too, because we have Ingram and Peterson. I think they're both a play. I don't know how you would have them on the same team, but if you did, I'd be fine with starting both of them there, too. Ingram is a solid fantasy contributor. No matter how good Peterson comes out and plays, he's not going to pull Ingram off the field. Totally, right? He might take the lion's share of the split. Maybe it'll be 60-40 at some point. Maybe it'll be the other way around. But week one, I think Ingram's fully involved in that offense, and Peterson is more of a change of pace guy. Bring him in fresh legs. You're a little tired because you've been dealing with Ingram and all these receivers and stuff. Oh, here's Adrian Peterson.
Who just runs angry.
Yeah. Have fun with that.
The only question I have about it is Vikings, remember how good the Vikings run D was last year?
Sure. Yep.
That could be an issue.
Yeah, maybe it is. But, Peterson playing against his old team. Highly motivated. Yeah, I'm playing him. Michael Thomas is certainly a start. He's fairly good. The reason that they felt like they could get rid of Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
And with Snead on suspension, I think Teddy Ginn's a play. Teddy ball game.
I like him.
Dude, he's a burner, and he's got one of the best quarterbacks ever to play throwing the ball to him. I mean, I think he's just the kind of guy I would sneak into a flex.
Minimum flex.
And go, hey, maybe he burns him deep once. I wouldn't expect him to get crazy PPR numbers, but it wouldn't shock me if he caught a 7-yard touchdown pass.
Well, I like the fact that he's got Thomas over there pulling the safety.
Right.
You know, he's not going to Teddy Ginn's not going to get doubled much.
Right. As for the tight end Fleener, not a huge, huge fan.
As for the tight end Fleener,
Solid analysis from Lyle Conkiel.
Yeah, there you go.
On the other side, we have Sammy Bradford, who I know is a guy that went down your list. You probably didn't draft him until, 14th, 15th round.
Or not at all.
Right. Yeah. But here's the thing. This is going to be a shootout, and he's going to have to put the ball in the air. So in a DraftKings format, again, this is the kind of situation I'm looking for. So, again, season long, probably not. Week one in your weekly start, obviously not. But DraftKings, have a look.
Dude, he's my quarterback in the Dynasty League. Because I'm waiting for Luck to come back.
Yeah, that's a different situation.
Dude, I'm happy. I want to see what Bradford does in the second year of an offense.
Yeah, that'll
be
really
interesting. But he has a full offseason with the offense he played in the season before.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I mean, dude, he broke the record for completions quarterback last year.
I know. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, so let's see more of those passes go downfield.
He's just not great.
Right.
And he hasn't been great. At running back, you got a guy by the name of Dalvin Cook and a guy by the name of Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray says Dalvin Cook earned the starting job.
And I'm sure he did. And yeah. I think Cook is a solid play in any format. Murray, however, he wasn't great as a starter. Maybe he'll be good as a change of pace guy. But we're going to wait and see, right? We're not jumping out on that.
Yeah.
The receivers, man, do they got a flock of good ones.
They do.
You have Stephon Diggs, who's 100% a start. You have Thielen, who I really like, man.
He's a flex, to be sure.
Yeah, he's probably a flex.
PPR flex.
And I'm curious to see how Laquon Treadwell develops this season as we go forward. And they have a bunch of other guys, too. Floyd, Jarius Wright, back in the day. And at tight end, you got Kyle Rudolph. He's a solid play. You just stick him in. Rudolph, the red zone reindeer.
That's him. Is he healthy?
I don't know.
I
didn't see him on the report.
No injuries to report. How about that?
Let me effort because they didn't report.
I just looked.
I know, but that means they did. They probably didn't report.
Gotcha.
Let me see.
We'll all go to the next game while you do that.
Well, that's the last one for me.
Chargers Broncos. This will be the second of the Monday night games. So you've got Phillip Rivers, who's going against the Broncos. Some people ask me about, should I play Rivers against the Broncos because I lost Jameis or I lost Cutler? Somebody's playing Cutler. Anyway, the answer is yeah. I mean, they're playing the Broncos on the road, which is never easy. The Broncos at home are really, really good. Broncos, a favorite to maybe, challenge the Patriots this year. We'll see. I think Phillip Rivers is going to be fine. He's got his full complement of weapons at his disposal, which, he's not used to. Melvin Gordon, had a good season last year.
Rudolph is questionable.
Okay.
With a leg, unspecified leg injury.
All right. So Melvin Gordon had a good year last year. If he continues that, you got Oliver who backs him up, who had a good preseason. We'll see how that works out into the regular season. But the running back position is pretty solid. Keenan Allen back healthy, which is a plus. He's a top five, candidate for receiver if he's healthy, and he's going to do amazing things until he gets hurt again.
Likely.
Tyrell Williams emerged last year after Allen went down. Mm-hmm. He's a threat. He's the other side on the outside. Travis Benjamin and Dontrell Inman. Travis Benjamin is a tremendous slot receiver. We'll see if he actually gets some separation this year. And Inman came in big last year when Allen was out as well. So there's all kinds of options for Phillip Rivers. So I like him. Mm-hmm. I like Gordon, Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams. I like all three of those guys. Not so much Benjamin and Inman because I'm not real sure how they're going to go. You have better options there. Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates, if you have either of them, I like them in this game as well. Yes, they're playing the Broncos. Yes, the Broncos are good. But, the Chargers are going to compete and they're going to be throwing the ball. In fact, if they're behind, it's even better for you in fantasy. So, yeah, I like all those guys. From the Broncos side, fewer guys to like, honestly. Trevor Siemian, don't go anywhere near him, obviously. C.J. Anderson is flex-worthy at this point. I'm not confident enough in his – well, you know what? I am confident in his ability to disappoint.
Certainly.
Yeah. Starting running back in the NFL, In a standard flex, certainly. In a PPR, you probably have better options, but in a standard flex, I like Anderson. I can't really give a thumbs up to Jamaal Charles yet because we don't know what his role is going to be. Is he going to be the change of pace guy? You know, could he take over the starting running back role? You bet. If he's the Jamaal Charles we're used to seeing, yeah, mm-hmm. he's old, but he's still Jamaal Charles. We'll see. I'm not quite ready to give him a thumbs up yet. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, they're just too good to not play. You got to put those guys in somewhere. So do that. You drafted him to play him. Do so this week. Virgil Green, better options at tight end. And those...
Beat them games, bitches. Wow.
You've been waiting for this since February 6th.
Football season is here.
And there's no better way to get closer to the game you love than with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football.
And to celebrate the new season, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 contest this Sunday that's totally free to enter.
And if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion.
With DraftKings, there are many ways to play.
You can play the public contest with the big cash prizes, or you can create your own private contest where you compete against a group of your friends.
Just like those TFFG leagues we mentioned earlier.
That's right. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill level.
And the best part is you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment.
Get to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code GUYS to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday.
And remember, if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion with a B.
That's right. Promo code GUYS, G-U-Y-S, to play for your shot to win $1 billion this Sunday.
The contest is totally free to enter, so why wouldn't you give it a shot?
Why not indeed? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We have a ton of questions.
We probably won't get to them all.
But you know what we don't get to? We will get to Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday.
On Saturday.
I hate that part of the accent here. Ocean Eyes Film says... here's my team. Can you please rate and help me on my weakness? 3 wide receiver league, 1 flex. He's got Cam, Julio, Martavis Bryant, Brandon Marshall, Gurley, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Rudolph, Zay Jones, Pittsburgh D, and Prater. On his bench, he has Duke Johnson, Randall Cobb, Jamaal Williams, Doug Martin, and the Rams defense. Okay, so here's the issue that you have here. Dougie Martin being down for a while is going to bother you a little bit because you're starting a rookie at running back and you're starting a rookie in a flex in Zay Jones. I don't think I can recommend starting Zay Jones in his first game. Can you?
Yeah, you know, especially since you have another option.
Well, his other options are essentially Duke Johnson or Randall Cobb, right? Because Jamaal Williams is a rookie in his first game, right? And Doug Martin's on suspension.
Yeah.
You're playing Pittsburgh's D over the Rams. Who cares? It's a defense. I don't know why you're carrying two. You probably shouldn't. Pick one, ditch the other one, and pick somebody else up, somebody you can play.
Yeah.
You know, that would be my recommendation here. Listen, your wide receivers are super solid. You have Jones, Bryant, and Marshall as your starting three, and then your flex spot, you know, you could put in, you know, Cobb or Duke Johnson even. I don't think I could recommend Zay Jones in his first game. I don't think that's a very wise choice, but it is a flex, dude, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, your expectations out of your flex spot, you know, are just that. They're flexible. So, you know, I don't have a whole lot of trust in what the Bills are doing at this point. But, you know, it'll help Zay, I guess, if Matthews is back. But it's a dice roll. It's a dice roll with Duke Johnson, too. You know, Randall Cobb's a little more solid.
If it turns out that Matthews is a little bit more banged up, then I don't hate Jones, actually.
Yeah.
If he's going to be the number one guy on the field.
Well, I think he's the number one guy on the field, even if Matthews is healthy.
Well, that's debatable. I don't know. That's the only question mark I have for this one, though. Everybody else looks good.
Yeah, you know what, and I think the rest of the team is solid enough where, you know, you can withstand a low Zay Jones output for the first week. I would probably pop Duke Johnson in.
I probably would too.
Just because it's a flex, and I have a skosh more trust in what Duke Johnson's role is going to be. Duke Johnson's role is going to be over what Zay Jones is going to be.
Right. Well said, Kevin.
I really struggled there. I'm kind of embarrassed. From the forum, Juicebox says, drafting a brand new Dynasty League using the Empire format Wednesday night. Tonight, actually.
Oh, wow. Well, this is going to come in late then.
Yeah,
sorry
about that, bro. So, what advice do you have for drafting first season of Dynasty League? I'm thinking using the same strategies in redraft could potentially lead to some weaknesses in the long run. Any tips would be appreciated. Okay, so basically, yeah, I mean, you know, the first year of a Dynasty draft is similar to a redraft league. But, you know, really, you may want to not grab, like, a guy like Adrian Peterson, mm-hmm. because he's going to be, like, a 1 or 2 year at best player for you. That being said, you want to win the first year, too. So, you know, kind of a mix between younger guys and older guys. You don't want to just take high upside young guys because you'll suck for the first 3 years.
Well, so I'm curious as what this Empire format is. From what I've read, they have two drafts. But I haven't really gone into all the specifics and if that's a definite thing in these Empire formats.
Right.
But some of them have to do with the pot. So if you have one individual draft, go young early, obviously. But if you have two, sometimes they have a rookie draft and a veteran draft too. That's a different situation. Like the veteran draft, feel free to draft whoever you want. Just like it would be a redraft. Right, but the rookies obviously would be first and foremost, and they are going forward in your dynasty leagues. Kevin and I have been playing in one for a very long time now, and we mentioned it a lot. It's a 14 team, 10 man keeper dynasty league, and you're allowed to trade picks and all that kind of stuff. It's a really cool league. It's fun to play in. It's uber frustrating because there's no bench. Like, there's the waiver wire is perpetually dry.
Oh, I need a running back. Yeah. You can't have one.
Seriously, you can't find a startable one on the wire. They don't exist. You know, last year I think I picked up a couple guys and played them, and they got like 3 carries. You know, I mean, that's how desperate I was.
Yeah, when you're going, ooh, Orleans Darkwa is available.
Yeah,
and you pick him up to play him.
So you have to be really, really careful.
That was a true story, by the way.
It's a true story. You have to be really careful about, startable players week to week. Because, again, with so many people being carried over, it gets bleak really fast. Also, the later rounds of those drafts are really dark places, too.
They are.
So, you know, in a dynasty league right now, other than David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, probably the next running back taken should be Fournette.
Yeah.
In a dynasty format.
And then Mixon, and then McCaffrey, and then Cook.
Yeah, I don't know where McCoy falls on that list just because of his age and his injury history.
Yeah.
In a dynasty format, he might be a second rounder. You know what I mean? Maybe even a third, depending on what wide receivers and quarterbacks and all that kind of stuff go.
Yeah.
So you just have to be really, really careful about drafting veterans and really careful about filling out your weekly lineup because the waiver wire is going to be super thin.
Yep.
You know, in those formats too, people are much more aggressive on the waiver wire because any player could potentially next season or the season after be a stud. So people are hyperactive. It's not like a redraft league where, you know, some people don't even bother looking at it. Other people put in one claim. No, in our dynasty format, man, people put in 5-6 claims a week, you know, and that's basically every team. They put in at least 2 or 3.
Yeah. You have to,
you know? Yeah. So, I mean, that's how one of the teams ended up with David Johnson, right? He wasn't drafted. He was a waiver wire pickup.
Yep.
So, and then you end up with a fantasy stud forever. Lucky bastard.
That's what happens.
Anyway.
So, to the emails?
Mm-hmm. Joe says, donation just made. Help week one.
Appreciate
Start
that.
Two. DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, and I'm done.
Good night, everybody.
I mean, he's got Pryor and Jameson Crowder as well. Both also solid plays. However, I would play Hopkins and Cooks.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy one.
Yeah.
And I understand your question there. You know, maybe play one of the other guys.
Dude, I get it, but yeah, sorry.
So Robo Coyote says, if Hill is out this week, I think Mixon is the start, but I'm a bit worried if Hill plays, Mixon might be limited. So Tate, Hogan, Mixon, or Abdullah, start two. Doesn't mention whether it's a PPR or not. Oh, standard scoring league. There we go. One running back, two flexes.
One running back, two flexes.
I mentioned before that, you know, whether Hill plays or not, I still like Mixon's chances to make the most of his opportunities. I like that. And let's see, Golden Tate, I like him, but I also like Abdullah. It's a standard scoring lead, though. So I guess Mixon would be the one running back, and he's currently going with Mariota, Dalvin Cook, Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas, Hogan, and Tate. I think that's probably fine.
It's probably fine.
You know, Mixon. You know what? I'm not going to sit Cook for Mixon, though.
Nah, no, because he is the starter.
In a PPR or in a standard league, I'm going to pull Hogan out, and I'm going to put Abdullah in.
Me too, probably. Week two, we might change our minds.
Yeah.
But week one, yeah.
You know, and somebody asked on Twitter, you know, hey, in a standard league, would you play Hogan or Woodhead? And my response was, why did you draft those guys in a standard league?
Yeah.
You know, okay, maybe they were the best receiver available at the time because catches equal yards and scores, but, you know, those aren't two guys you'd think, hey, I'm in a standard, I'm going to grab Woodhead.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's a better option there. So anyway, in a standard, I would take Abdullah over Hogan.
Word him up, Kevin.
Oh, God.
Kevin's the lyrical gangster. Mr. Bubbles 854 says, hey, guys, kind of late with this, so I understand if I screwed the pooch here, but do you have an idea for good flex or switching my second RB around? That would be great. I'm in a standard scoring two running back, two wide receivers, a tight end QB, and a flex league. I have starting, hopefully for sure, Gronk, Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks, Kareem Hunt. I don't know if I should switch up my running backs and flex another wide receiver or keep what I have. My other options are Mixon, Gillislee, Stewart, Rashard Matthews, John Brown, Dougie Martin, not Willie Snead, and Manny Sanders. Man, good draft, dude. So if you should switch up your running backs and a flex for another wide receiver, keep what I have. Worried Mixon won't get the lion's share. Same with Gillislee. Obviously, Snead and Martin are gone, and everyone I've seen said John Brown could be amazeballs week one. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. And this guy messaged us on Facebook.
I see.
So here's the thing. Gronk's definitely starting. You're right. Antonio Brown's, Brandon Cooks, and Kareem Hunt. That's fine. As far as your running backs are concerned, you got to pick one. It's between Mixon and Gillislee. Right? So, you got to start at least one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the receivers are concerned, I like John Brown and I like Willie Snead. Or, sorry, Rashard Matthews. I don't know why I just said
Snead is suspended.
I understand that. I meant to say Rashard Matthews. Okay. I just was reading the thing about Snead. So, let's evaluate this here. Mixon, let me pull up their ADPs real quick because they're probably fairly close.
A little trouble there, bud?
No, I'm pulling him up right now. Gillislee scares me a little bit because he's, I guess both of these guys are in that same situation.
Oh, yeah.
Gillislee's got KC, Mixon is Baltimore. You know what? There's more data on Gillislee. We don't know much about Mixon just yet. There's two other running backs on that team that are pretty good. I have a feeling Gillislee is going to be involved in that offense from the gate, regardless of what, you know, who gets the first snap.
Right.
I think I'd start Gillislee this week.
I can't disagree with that.
I mean, I'm trying to come up with any kind of logic I can come up with to aid you in deciding who to play here. Now, as far as John Brown is concerned, you're right. He could be amazing. He's done it before, right?
Not consistently, though.
That's the issue, and that's the book on him. Rashard Matthews is a little bit safer, I think. I don't see any reason, really, to roll the dice week one. So, honestly, this one's probably a toss-up. Matthews could get behind a little bit easier. I think that the Arizona game is going to be very competitive. So I might start Matthews as a safer play this week. That's pure speculation. There isn't much data that separates these two guys yet. So there's those other two. Now the question is, do you start Mixon or John Brown. And we typically default to the running back there.
Typically.
Yeah. I think I would start mixing over Brown. So there you go. In your flex.
There you have it.
There you have it. That was a long answer to a short question.
Well, you know, I think it was necessary. By the way, you missed a guy.
Did I?
You did.
Who?
Nathan.
In the email?
Yeah.
Well, you got to stop opening them.
Well, I didn't until you missed him. So anyway, let's roll back to the forum.
All right, well, I'll get him next.
Drew Seabass says, for your next cast, reason number 5,237, why we don't take quarterbacks early, Father Time is undefeated. The two of the consensus top three quarterbacks are two of the oldest in the league, Brady and Breeze. Yes, both are Hall of Famers, but that doesn't mean I want Peyton Manning back under center for my team. The drop-off when it hits is usually steep, and it's usually quick. I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather someone else take those guys, wait a few rounds, grab more RBs and wide receivers, and take whichever of Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, etc. falls in my lap in the sixth or seventh or later. True, injuries can strike anyone, anywhere, at any time, but just wondering if you agree that many are overlooking this important and very real risk factor for Breeze and Brady, and what you think it means for those of us who place our trust in Gronk, Michael Thomas, and others on New Orleans, New England, who rely on healthy Breeze or Brady.
You're not wrong. I mean, I mentioned it earlier. The thing is, though, I think we would see some, there's going to be a season where they taper off. Right, where they're just not quite as good as they were the previous year. Both of those guys were studs last year. And we don't have any reason to believe that they won't continue that this year.
Right.
We've seen quarterbacks, Brett Favre played into his 40s, and while he wasn't as successful as he was in Green Bay, he was a fantasy-relevant quarterback.
He was, indeed.
Even in his last season, even though he wasn't, you know, probably a weekly start, he was a guy that you could play. So I don't think that we have to worry about it so much this season. Gronk will probably be fine, no matter who's throwing him the football. In fact, his numbers, scary enough, might go up. At least his targets might go up if Brady's out.
Maybe.
His targets might. Whether he catches them or not is a different story. But, I mean, I can't think of a backup quarterback's a better friend to a backup quarterback than Gronk.
Freaking Gronk.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah. Michael Thomas is a little bit scary. So that's the one that does concern me a little bit, because if he doesn't have Breeze, I don't know who he is.
Well, you know, I think the system in New England is more conducive, if you don't mind me using that word.
I don't.
To a backup quarterback coming in and having success. We saw it at the beginning of last year. Garoppolo came in, won a couple games. Brissett actually looked semi-usable in that system. So, you know, that raises a question. Is Brady a system guy, or is he really that good? I think both is the answer. You know, would he have succeeded anyway? Yeah, absolutely. Does the system he's in and has been in for 18 years help him in that regard?
100%.
Absolutely.
And Breeze is probably in that category too.
He is. So
he was good in San Diego, but not as good as he is in New Orleans.
You get a mixture of, you know, Sean Payton and Drew Breeze, and you know, magic happens. So,
right.
You know, really it's usually the defense that is the issue in New Orleans.
Right.
So, you know, you lose, you know, 40 to 38 games.
Yeah, that's, you know, a bummer.
That's a tough call.
Great for fantasy, though.
It is. I love
keep
those.
Putting it up, Drew.
So, yeah, I mean, I drafted Breeze in a couple situations. And I understood that I was getting a 38-year-old guy. But Breeze, you know, and Brady falls in this category, too. They don't take the huge shots like Cam Newton did. You know, these guys aren't mm-hmm. running, you know.
Right.
And Aaron doesn't run as much as he used to either.
No, he doesn't.
You know, there's a reason for that. He wants to play longer. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I understand that it's a dice roll for these guys, and it's going to be more difficult for them to come back from major injury. Maybe they don't. But as far as this year is concerned, I'm not worried about having Breeze, and if I had Brady, I wouldn't worry about that either.
Me either. Yeah, I totally concur.
But I like the question.
But yeah, I like the question, and I like the strategy too. If you want to fade those guys, that's fine. As long as you have valid logic, feel free to make any decision. Just don't go, hey, I'm taking Gronk because he scores the most touchdowns as a tight end and he has wide receiver numbers. That's flawed logic, right? That's 100% it's flawed logic. He does have those numbers, but that isn't a reason to draft him. So that's just comes from basic statistical analysis. So as long as your logic is sound, I can't hate you making any decision at all. And that's certainly a valid strategy.
Indeed.
Okay, let's do like one or two more, and then we'll save them for Sunday.
Saturday.
Week one roster help. Nathan says, hey guys, love the podcast. Been listening for a few years now. Titles have been won. Jelly has been drank. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Drop us a review on iTunes if you don't mind.
That'd be fantastic.
He's in a half peeper keeper. Can keep for round one or higher than previous kept.
How old is this? Jeez, when's the draft?
It was 2 days ago.
Okay.
Or a day ago, whatever. So he kept Montgomery for a sixth, David Johnson for a seventh, and Reek Hill for an eighth. Love it.
Stolen.
Drafted A.J. Green, Dalvin Cook, Keenan Allen, Alshon Jeffrey. Jesus. Johnson and Green are dialed in. Pick one running back and one wide receiver and a flex. So Green and David Johnson are both in.
Right.
So we need a running back from...
I'll take Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook is fine. And then we need a wide receiver and a flex here.
I'll take Keenan Allen.
As my flex.
And Tyreek Hill.
Keenan Allen's wide receiver and Reek Hill is your flex. Okay. I might go Montgomery there. It is a peeper, though. Okay.
I have a feeling Kansas City is going to be behind a little bit tomorrow night.
That's due Reek. I don't hate that. He says, thanks for your help. Love the podcast. Nate in Minneapolis. And gotta love the Thrones. He's got a picture of Khaleesi. Yeah. She is blistering. Blistering.
She's a dimer.
And we'll do full on frontal every season. And it's like,
yeah, gotta love it.
Thank you.
Big fan. Miguel writes, last one, by the way. We'll move the rest to Saturday.
Done.
Hey, gents, need some advice on my lineup week one. Pretty good. I feel pretty good about my QB1 and wide receivers, but a little hesitant about running backs and QB2. It's a 12-team, two quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, one flex, one tight end, half point peeper, 6 points for passing TDs. Current lineup is Aaron. He's got Trevor Siemian from the against the LA Chargers. That's really weird to say. Jaquizz Rodgers, no you don't, against Miami. Eddie Lacy versus Green Bay. Dez, Terrell Pryor, Reek Hill, and Julius Thomas, no you don't. Okay, so you're going to take Jaquizz out, right? And your choices for putting him in or for replacing him are Tevin Coleman, Adrian Peterson, Joe Mixon.
Well, we can play more than one of them, assuming we get a... Well,
the flex is Reek Hill, so you can take Reek out if you want to. But you have to replace Jaquizz because, you know, he's not playing this week. So,
yeah.
So it's Peterson, Coleman, or Mixon.
I really want to play AP here. I'm just pulling up all
the. Do you agree that Coleman's out of that conversation?
He probably is. He's a really good flex, but probably not an RB2. It's really between Mixon and Peterson here. Peterson against his old team. I don't know that I can fade that. I mean, I get that Mixon's going to be the quote-unquote dude in Cincinnati. We all feel that
allegedly.
Way.
Allegedly.
Yeah, but I think that I'm playing... man, you're going to be so bent out of shape if Mixon and Tevin Coleman both go off and then Peterson plays Monday night. You're going to be like, man, I would play AP.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how fresh his legs are. You know, I answered this question on Twitter. Is like, you know, AP is never going to be fresher than he is now.
Right, it's week one.
And he's never going to be more motivated than he is playing against his old team.
Yep.
So, you know, that right there, that sometimes equates to, you know, success, but not always. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, there's question marks around Mixon, and there's question marks around Coleman. There's question marks around all three of these. But, you know, those two things I just named kind of shove Peterson to the front of that.
Agreed.
Now, as far as Julius Thomas goes, you're just going to have to get yourself another tight end, dude.
Yep, I'm in the same boat, brother.
Yeah, I had to move a couple guys out. I think everybody did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our Experts League, Block Talk Radio Experts League, mm-hmm. we have Jameis Winston as quarterback.
Yep,
oops. Now we have Phillip Rivers as quarterback. Right. But I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too.
I'm all right with that, too. So if you didn't get to your question, we're going to keep the thread open, and you'll be able to continue to ask them, yep, and we will
post them.
We will answer them on Saturday.
Saturday.
In southern Delaware, they say EE instead of AY after days of the week.
Yeah.
Saturday, Monday, Tuesday.
They say it in Philly, too.
Do they?
Yeah. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I hate that.
One of the things, it's a peeve.
Yeah, it's a pet peeve of mine, too. I'm like, ah.
Do you have to? Really?
Look, it was Tuesday night. And I'm like, ah.
Yeah. And you know what? Every now and again, my southern Delaware creeps in. You know, I've tried hard to get that out of my system. But every now and again, pops in. When I'm talking to somebody from there, mm-hmm. yeah, I'll say, I need some water.
Water. Yeah, that's a real common one, too. Yeah.
All right, we're out. Enjoy your, I guess, Thursday and the game and then the weekend. And
yeah,
it's,
man.
It's opening day week, guys.
Opening day week, opening day eve.
We're friendly with this whole concept of NFL football. You may have noticed. All right, we're out. Enjoy your stuff, and we'll be back on Tuesday for the Waiver Wire show. We'll actually be back on Saturday
for the call-in show.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, bye, guys.
Love you, mean it.
See ya.